Translation purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's own mother, sister or daughter, for the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Purport. The learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction, as specifically mentioned herewith. Such attraction is possible even with one's mother, sister or daughter. Generally, of course, one is not sexually attracted to his mother, sister or daughter, but if one allows himself to sit very close to such a woman, one may be attracted. This is a psychological fact. It may be said that one is liable to be attracted if he is not very advanced in civilized life. However, as specifically mentioned here, vidvamsa api karsati, even if one is highly advanced, materially or spiritually, he is attracted by lusty desires. The object of attraction may be even one's mother, sister or daughter. Therefore, one should be extremely careful in dealing with women. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was most strict in such dealings, especially after he accepted the sannyas order. Indeed, no woman could come near him to offer him respects. Again, one is warned herewith that one should be extremely careful in dealing with women. A brahmachari is forbidden even to see the wife of his spiritual master if she happens to be young. The wife of the spiritual master may sometimes take some service from the disciples of her husband, as she would from a son. But if the wife of a spiritual master is young, a brahmachari is forbidden to render service to her. Om Ajnana Trimunandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusmitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is very interesting verse here, where King Yayati is discussing about the merits of being bonded in this material world. Prabhupada explains that the root cause of our attachment to this material world is revolving around sex life. Of course, when we talk about this subject matter, sometimes people may get a little agitated, or sometimes people may not agree with our point of view, or sometimes we may not be politically correct. But the fact of life remains that the attraction for men towards women and for women towards men is the sub and substance of our existence. We see all over the world, Eastern Hemisphere or Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, whichever continent you may go, whichever culture, whichever race you go to, is all based on the same basic principle, that there is attraction between the opposite sex. And therefore, the whole world is running on the principle of this. And why? Due to the very nature of the senses, it is attracted to these kind of sense pleasures. It is natural. It is nothing artificial. Even the scriptures are saying that this kind of attraction is not artificial. It is natural. But because we have been associated with the material world for so many lifetimes and interacting with the modes of material nature, the only thing we know about sense pleasure is the pleasure between a man and a woman. Now, of course, it may not be just gross sex, even subtle attraction, even just a companionship will be there. Sometimes you see there is a need for a feminine companion. There's nothing gross about it, but still one would like to be with the opposite sex. just to derive some kind of subtle pleasures, I suppose. But in the scriptures, it is mentioned very clearly that the highest pleasure, of course, is when you understand who you really are. This is what Prabhupada is presenting, the concept of science of self-realization. Realizing yourself, who you really are. And what is your objective in this material world? Of course, theoretically we all read Prabhupada's books, we all understand that the objective is that we free ourselves from sense enjoyment and be absorbed fully in the spirit of devotion to the Supreme Lord and eventually engage our mind so much in the lotus feet of the Lord that we become free from all other material attractions. And eventually when we reach that pure state, free from all contamination, then we achieve liberation. And that liberation means that you are freed from all these kind of bondages and you can fully absorb yourself with the Supreme Lord and actually relish the companionship of the Supreme Lord. So, the scriptures are full of incidences which are giving us knowledge, insight into that wonderful relationship with the Supreme Lord. At the same time, it is also warning us of the pitfalls of life, especially in this verse, after Maharaj Yayati was regaining his youth and he was explaining his experience. Now, most of us are maybe, you know, in our prime of our lives, youth, you may say, some of us has gone past prime, you know, cell by date is gone. But still, nonetheless, we have very little experience of this present life. But Maharaj Yayati is speaking here after 1,000 years, that even after 1,000 years, his senses are so much attracted towards the opposite sex. Specifically in this chapter, he is discussing this subject matter with his dear wife about the he-god and the she-god. How each other is trying to enjoy themselves. So this reminds me of one story Prabhupada gave many years ago when he was giving one lecture. He was talking about donkeys, a he-donkey and a she-donkey. And when I heard that lecture by Prabhupada, and in that lecture Prabhupada saying that on the plains of where the donkeys are grazing, the he-donkey is all excited to enjoy the female donkey. And he rushes towards the female donkey with all excitement. And as he approaches the female donkey to mount her, she, with a hind leg, she kicks the donkey. And if you haven't experienced a kick of an ass, I won't recommend it, but it's a pretty nasty experience. So the he-donkey, after getting this nasty knock on his face by the hind legs of a she-donkey, he doesn't think, wow, that was painful. I'm not trying that again. Now, any intelligent person would know that if something is the cause of pain, you would, after first experience, you would probably try to avoid that. Deviation from the point is that young children, at least in this country, have experienced that they are like 2-3-year-old kids and they are just beginning to develop their minds and they become curious about everything. So, this at least I'm speaking about my youth. You know, we didn't used to have so much central heating in those days. We used to have kerosene heaters. So this heating is there, kerosene heating is there. It's pretty hot. Flames are coming out from kerosene. And the children, you know, little baby, 2-year-old, is crawling and trying to, out of curiosity, investigate. What is all these things? And the mother would say, no. Get away from there. Now the child doesn't understand between hot and cold. Because he's just developing his senses. And he's curious. So the child is forbidden. So I said, okay, no problem. And the mother is busy doing something else, and the child again goes, no, don't go there, come back. Okay, the child sits down, quietly sitting there. As soon as mother's attention turns, quickly runs and touches it. What happens? It experiences something which is unusual. you know, not normally experienced by the child. Tremendous heat, and he's burning his soft hands. Now the child has experienced that the heater is not a pretty place to be near, especially not to touch. So in the summer months, the heater is still lying there, and you tell the baby, go and touch it. No. It's not on. There's no heat. You tell the child, go and touch it. No. Once bitten, twice shy. I will not touch that. So the child's intelligence is quickly working out what brings pleasure and what brings distress. But here Prabhupada was explaining that the he donkey, even hit, being hit by the hind legs of the she donkey umpteen times, still doesn't give up. Because thinking, no, there is some pleasure in this. So I was thinking, okay. This is something which is Prabhupada is explaining us with some reality of facts here. And this is what it's all about. So one day when I was in Ahmedabad temple, this is the old temple on Kailash Society, right on the banks of river Sabarmati. And in the summer the river is all dried. So there's all these donkeys are grazing. And there I was sitting very peacefully in the morning at 6 o'clock, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare. Peacefully chanting, very very nice and very quiet in that time of the morning. And there's all these donkeys grazing, and I'm seeing all these he donkeys trying to jump, the female donkeys. And then it reminded me of Prabhupada's talk. And then I realized that all the male donkeys have got scars on their faces. But the female donkeys, they don't have any scars. But of course, they don't get hit by the hind legs. But the point is that Prabhupada is saying that even though after being hit so many times, such a painful process, but deep inside, there is the desire to enjoy. And therefore, you keep trying. Similarly, in our own experience as human beings, we experience this also. And we try to enjoy. And therefore, Maharaj Yayati is giving his experience here. That saying that one should be very, very careful if one is serious about Krishna consciousness. Here, Prabhupada is mentioning purport. That even if one is materially or spiritually advanced, if you go near the fire, butter will melt. And of course, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he was very, very strict in his dealings with the female. In fact, that story about Chota Hariras Thakur. When Chota Hariras Thakur, simply for the pleasure of the Lord, he goes to beg for some rice from an old lady. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, and he said, why? He's a sannyasi. He should not have violated the principles of sannyas. He should go and kill himself at the Triveni Sangam, the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. And as soon as Chota Haridas Thakur got to know about this and how Lord Chaitanya was so upset, because his object was only one thing, how to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to do whatever is possible to offer service and render service to Lord Chaitanya. So his heart was very clear, very pure. His motive was only simple. Let me get some rice for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had no evil thoughts in his heart, especially when he's approaching an older lady. One can understand, as is mentioned here, that if someone is a younger lady, then there is that attraction. But Chota Haridas Thakur was not simply rendering service for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he violated the etiquette of sannyas. So therefore he must give up his life. Chota Haridas Thakur gave up his life. Similar incident happened when Vishnu Jan Swami, in his morning walk, was asking Prabhupada. And of course, Prabhupada was speaking purely on a scriptural reference here, that what would be the situation of one who is in a sannyas order of life, and if this kind of incidents happen. Prabhupada said, well, he cited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incident with Chota Haridas Thakur. One should go and give up his life at the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. So of course, Vishnu Jan Swami took this literally. Now, from what I've heard from many of the associates of Visnujan Swami, is that he was not having any gross difficulties. But sometimes, on a mental platform, you may have some attraction for someone. Because he was seriously dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, and serving Prabhupada and understanding the seriousness of Krishna consciousness, you know, this is not right. I have violated the principle. Therefore, I must give up my life. So he gave up his life. Later on, when Prabhupada heard this, Prabhupada was very upset. He said that there was no need for him to do that. Because this age of Kali Yuga is very, very fallen age. It is very difficult, in best of times, in best of circumstances, to be very much self-controlled. So, but the process is very simple, given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that in this day and age, simply to cultivate spiritual understanding is to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Even if one is in fallen condition, still, if one takes to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord and seriously has remorse about whatever sinful incidents may have occurred, grossly or mentally, they can be overcome simply by taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Even in Bhagavad Gita, which was written, spoken 5,000 years ago, Krishna says that even if one commits an abominable act, a saintly person commits an abominable act, if he corrects himself and gets back onto the principles of devotion, then he is again considered a saintly person. So Prabhupada never rejected anybody. Even in his physical presence, there were some sannyasis, young persons, having some difficulties. But Prabhupada said, it's okay. Don't give up the chanting. Don't give up the principles of Krishna consciousness. Continue. Lord Chaitanya will take care of the rest. But be sincere. So of course, here in this whole chapter is discussing how we have to become serious in our endeavors to pursue spiritual life. Even though it is mentioned here by the Prabhupada that even if you are spiritually advanced, difficulties may arise. And of course this arises because we become very complacent and very lax in our dealings. So we have to become very, very serious in our dealings. In fact, when Prabhupada first introduced Krishna consciousness, and the early devotees who approached Prabhupada, that Swamiji, of course, that time, you know, Prabhupada was called Swamiji, I said, you are talking about taking shelter of a spiritual master and following Krishna consciousness, so we want you to become our spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's okay. But up to that point, Prabhupada was simply speaking on the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, giving philosophical discourses, and simply encouraging people to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. But as young devotees who approached Srila Prabhupada in those days became more and more serious in their endeavors for spiritual life, so they wanted to take that next step, next commitment. So Prabhupada said, that is fine. But these are rules and regulations. These are terms and conditions. And of course, one of the fundamental principles of Krishna consciousness is following the four regulatory principles. And when we follow the four regular principles, that means that through the followings of the four regular principles and observing four regular principles, we maintain purity, purity of the mind, purity of the heart, and therefore thoughts of evil nature or sinful nature will not be entertained in the mind. Idle mind is devil's workshop. So as soon as there is some impurity, there is idleness in the mind is not properly engaged, then devil goes to work and he entices you. Come, enjoy, enjoy. This is what you are here for. This is the real world. So when Prabhupada introduced the four regular principles, that was for maintaining sanity and purity. Of course, in the four ashrams, the Brahmachari ashram, the Grihastha ashram, the Vanaprastha ashram, and the Sannyasa ashram, Prabhupada said all four ashrams are supposed to follow Brahmacharya. No one is exempted from it. except for there is a slight exemption in the Grihastha Ashram. And Grihastha Ashram, that exemption is for simply to procreate a child, not for enjoyment. So the seriousness of following the Brahmacharya state is there throughout the life, from the very beginning. When you go to the Gurukula, Brahmacharya training is there. After Gurukula training is finished and you are a young man or a young woman, educated, understanding the principles of Krishna consciousness and the scriptures, then you enter the household life. And the household life is very disciplined because there is pre-training. And then at appropriate time, when the household life is done and dusted with, you take semi-retirement, vanaprastha. Of course, it's not practical in this day and age to go to the forest. But in principle at least, that separation must be there. And eventually, take to the renounced state of full fully renouncing all companionship of the wife and become serious in spiritual life. So it is all mentioned in the scripture for those who are very serious candidates for spiritual life. It is not something which is pastime thing, you know. Oh, I'm a devotee now. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm dressing like a devotee. But what it entails to be a devotee is that we are seriously giving up all forms of sense enjoyment simply for the pleasure of the Lord and simply serving the Lord. And this is the very basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So in the whole object of King Yayati explaining this is to give us an insight that how difficult it is. At the same time, Prabhupada says that this difficult situation can be very easily overcome simply if we fixed our minds in Krishna consciousness. It's like Prabhupada says that example, that if we are fully absorbed in Krishna conscious activities, then the vast ocean of material suffering, material existence seems like a hoofprint of a calf. Or otherwise, it will appear as the vast ocean. And to cross over a vast ocean, even with the best of facilities, it will be very difficult. So Krishna consciousness is a very serious business to engage ourselves purely in the service and observe all the etiquettes of Krishna consciousness. This example of Prabhupada is not even in the verse is mentioned, that one can very easily become attracted to one's mother, one's sister, one's daughter, is that Prabhupada one time, you know, in Mayapur, he was sitting in his room translating the books, and there was his servant sitting in one corner. And at that moment, Prabhupada's sister, very elderly lady, came into the Prahupada's room, offered obeisance to Prabhupada, and started talking to Prabhupada in Bengali. So Prabhupada, of course, was very happy to receive his sister, and he started speaking to her in Bengali. And meanwhile, the servant sitting in the corner was thinking, let me leave this room so that brother and sister can have some private moments and they can have their chit-chat. So out of his heart, he was thinking, let me give some private moments to brother and sister. So as soon as he was paying a blessing to Prabhupada and then getting up to leave the room, Prabhupada with very angry voice said, sit down! And the devotee was saying, yes, Prabhupada. And he just crawled back into the corner and sat down. And then Prabhupada with a big smile started chatting with his sister again, as if there was no anger in Prabhupada's heart. And they chit-chatted for some times. After they finished their conversations, Prabhupada's sister paid obeisance to Prabhupada and took leave of Prabhupada. And she went. And after she left, Prabhupada called the servant. And he said, never leave a sannyasi alone in a room with a woman. Now, of course, nobody would think that there would be any thought in Prabhupada's mind about attraction towards his sister. Of course, no doubt, there's tremendous love for his sister. But then, of course, in this material world, we take love for lust, and therefore we don't understand what is love. But Prabhupada was setting an example. Prabhupada would not be affected. But to show us, and this incident is mentioned in the Lilamrita, to teach us, for example, just like Maharaj Yayati is giving his experiences in this chapter. So Srila Prabhupada, in his life experience, is teaching us a very valuable instruction here of how to deal in our day-to-day life so that we do not become prey to this kind of desires. Because desires are always going to be there. Prabhupada said, you can never be free of desire. The only thing is that we can change that desire into a positive desire, and that desire for serving Krishna. So if you are completely absorbed in serving Krishna, then there is no question of anything else. We have seen sometimes we do this play where the person who is very agitated, so he's been instructed that you go and clean every single leaf on the banyan tree. So he's cleaning the leaves. And if you have seen a banyan tree, it's got millions of leaves. And it will take a long, long time to clean every single leaf. So by the time you have cleaned most of the leaves which are there, the new ones have grown. So there will never be a time where there won't be a leaf which is not being cleaned. So he's so absorbed that he forgets everything. So then his mind is so absorbed in that cleaning of the leaf that he can't think about anything else. Similarly, in our own experiences, sometimes we have experienced that if you are so absorbed in some activity which is very pleasing to you, you forget time. And also when you look at your watch, oh my God, is that the time? Time flew so fast. Because your mind is so fixed in the activity which you are absorbed in, that nothing else matters. The whole world is falling apart around you, and still you won't notice it. Because you are so absorbed in the activity you are doing. But if you are not paying attention and concentration to the activity you are doing, then you may be doing something with your hands, and eyes are wandering here, and the mind is wandering all over the universe. And you will not be able to pay attention to the activity you are performing. And therefore those activities which you may perform may not come out perfect. But if you are concentrating, very, very dedicated, then you will see that your mind at that point is thinking about nothing except the activity. For example, a jeweler, he takes a lump of gold and he's molding and making that piece of gold into a very intricate design of a jewelry. And he's sitting there with his concentration. And because it's such a delicate job, he has to pay serious attention to what he's doing. And if he's concentrating on what he's doing, he will at the end come up with a very, very intricate, very beautiful design of jewelry. But if he is not paying attention, it will not come out perfect. So similarly, this Krishna consciousness is that raw gold, lump of gold. And you and I are the jewelers. We have to mold that into perfection. And what is that perfection? That perfection of molding that jewelry is that it will be fitting as an offering to the Supreme Lord. So every moment we are awake, every moment we are engaged in the service, we should be fixed totally in our service. And if you're fixed in your service, then definitely our mind will not wander, will not get attracted. And therefore, we will feel great pleasures in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And when you begin to feel the great pleasures of Krishna consciousness, then you want more and more. As Prabhupada mentions, the higher taste. When you get a higher taste, then obviously you want to give up the lower taste. But if you haven't given up if you haven't developed the higher taste, then it's very easy to go back to the old ways. Because that is what you're conditioned to. That is what you're used to. And if you're used to that, then you're quite happy in that. Because there is no alternative replacement for lower taste in your minds. Unless until there's a higher taste. Just like you take a hog and you clean it up with warm water and best shampoos and scented oils and everything. And you put it in a very clean compound. with nicely fenced in, with fresh straw, fresh drinking water, fresh food. And these are all higher tests. And the hog is, one would think, this is a better situation. And the hog is thinking, yeah, this is okay. But as soon as you open the gates, what happens? He runs back into the sewers, open sewers, and wallows himself in the gutters. Because he has developed great attraction for lower tests. And he has no higher test. And he will never come to a higher test because he is very much influenced by mode of ignorance. And as long as you are influenced by mode of ignorance, there is no question of developing higher test. Therefore, even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling to Arjuna, rise above these three modes, O Arjuna. Unless until you rise above the three modes, you will never experience the higher test. So mode of ignorance we can understand is lower sense enjoyments. Mode of passion, even mode of goodness. Krishna is saying, rise above mode of goodness. Only then you'll experience the higher test. So our activities in Krishna consciousness, the engagement of devotional service, getting our early morning, taking a bath, coming for the morning program, hearing and chanting, associating with devotees, all this is supposed to influence, at least raise to the mode of goodness. And then from mode of goodness, we can transcend to pure goodness when we develop that natural attraction and affection for the Supreme Lord. To be honest, we have all experienced that we may be getting up early in the morning, coming to the temple room. After Mangalati is finished, curtains closed, Tulsi Puja is done and dusted with, then you are sitting there for your morning japa period, and there you are, enthusiastically put your hand in your japa mala, going Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And you find all kinds of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And all kinds of chanting is going on, and eventually the mind says, Prabhu, you came in late last night. Maybe time for a little nap. Yes, yes, yes. And we go out. And go to the ashram upstairs, or wherever your place of taking shelter of your sleeping bag. And then you'll take a nap, and you'll justify, oh, I came very late. And the mind says, you came late. Yes, yes, yeah, I agree with you. And we would give in to it very easily. And it's not difficult to give in to the mind. And similarly, many times when the mind comes and says, come on, you deserve this. So we say, yeah, yes, yes, and we agree with. There will not be a point where we disagree with the mind. Because mind is a very, very clever entity. It is very persuasive. And therefore, we can become victims. And then, to experience higher tests will be very difficult. So therefore, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. Similarly, learning the etiquettes of Krishna consciousness will not free you from all other objects of sense enjoyment. Unless until we defy the mind and control the mind, as I said before, that the mind can be easily trained if we control the mind properly and consciously try to subdue the mind with higher intelligence. And then we can fully be absorbed in the service of the Supreme Lord and engage in the principle of devotion. Basically, principle of devotion is the key to becoming Krishna conscious. So, there are many, many instructions in the scriptures. All you have to do is read them, hear them, and put it into practice. And if you do that with a conscious mind and with a great determination, then we can make it without fail. No matter how the situation may seem impossible. Recently, someone put a very nice video on my Facebook, and it was a goat and a big bull. Now, you know, the big bulls are giants, and you can see their power they have. And they have this tendency to bow down in the head and then butt you. And there was this goat, seems very, very tiny thing. And physically looking at it, is impossible for the goat to defeat the bull. But the bull was defeated by the goat simply by its attitude and its determination. So I was quite impressed by that. I said, no matter how many difficulties may come in front of us in our execution of Krishna consciousness, simply if we are determined to overcome that, then by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we can overcome any difficulties. Similarly, there was another picture posted about a rhinoceros and a tiny chihuahua dog. Now, you know, chihuahua is a tiny little thing, you know, looks like almost like a giant rat in front of a rhinoceros. Now, I don't think any one of us has got guts to go in front of a rhinoceros and says, hey, I'm going to challenge you. But the little chihuahua, he went to the rhinoceros and was barking, and the rhinoceros was running away from the chihuahua. Now, obviously, you know, he has got some guts. I can overcome my fears. I may be a tiny little thing in a tiny body, but my soul is same size as his soul. You know, I can do it. So anyway, the point is that if we simply take shelter of the Supreme Lord, pray to Krishna, he will give us the power. As Krishna mentions, I am the ability in man. So whatever ability we have, it is not generated by our own self, but it comes from the Supreme Lord. And if you pray to the Supreme Lord, dear Lord, help me. I want to become Krishna conscious. I want to overcome all the difficulties. You think Krishna is going to be playing his flute and smile saying, try your best. No. He is your best well-wisher. So he will say, yes, you have come to the right place. You're asking the right person. I'm going to help you. I am the ability in you. I will give you the ability to overcome all these difficulties. Therefore, we come overcome all our difficulties and we come perfectly situated in our Krishna consciousness. We are happily executing our devotional life. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments, any questions.